Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Hello, this is Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy, introducing this month's Prophet University audio series. Tom, we both had the opportunity to listen to this month's program entitled Six Simple Steps to Email Marketing by Lorraine Ball. It's a great program, a little bit shorter than normal, but it's packed with some great information. As I listened to the program, one of the questions that I came up with, that really stuck out to me was, she talks about subject lines and the importance of having a proper subject line in your email marketing. What are some considerations that you think of when it comes to talking about your subject line?
Yeah, subject lines are extremely important. It's kind of like the title of an article. If you don't like the title, you'll probably never read the article. It's the same thing with email. If you don't have a subject line that attracts the customer, they'll tend not to open it. The problem is many people, and I'm guilty myself sometimes, is having too long a subject line trying to describe what I'm trying to get the customer to look at. And the reality is, as she mentioned in the presentation, some of the different groups that you use truncate your subject line, and therefore we don't get all the information out there, so we actually confuse a customer more than we'd want to. So you need to give a lot of thought to that in terms of just keeping it short and sweet.
We don't think about that all too often. I think it's a great point.
Yeah, and something else that I've noticed she mentioned in there, and a lot of people are guilty of it, and myself as well, and that's where to harvest, I guess is the right word, emails from. Lots of people take them from mass emails or other place. You have any experience with that, Bill?
Well, yeah, that's one of those areas that's really interesting. And between you and I, we both get these emails all the time from sources saying, would you like to buy an email list that you can start marketing to? Although those offers are there all the time, using them is actually a violation of the Canned Spam Act. And so you really can't simply go out and buy a list and start marketing to them because, that is considered spam. Just a real quick experience that I ran into is in working in the field, run service calls at times with the company, and one of the things we did is had a problem situation that was caused by lack of maintenance. And I asked the customer at that point in time, I said, Mike, would it be helpful to you if I sent you an email every single month just reminding you to change your filter? And he goes, oh man, Bill, if you could do that, that would be incredible. Well, we started thinking about that situation and as a result, started asking every single customer on every service call we went on if they would like to have an email from us when it's time for their routine maintenance, things like changing filters, just standard routine maintenance type things that they had to do in their home that they could do themselves. We had over 30% of our customers who willingly gave us their email and asked us to send them emails on a regular basis.
Wow. I mean, that's a great way to harvest some emails from people that already like you and are using you. Excellent.
Absolutely. We got immediate buy-in and they're asking us to send them. Well, let's get started with this month's program. This month's program is Six Simple Steps to Email Marketing by Lorraine Ball. Lorraine was tired of the corporate grind, big waste, bad marketing campaigns, and a one-size-fits-all approach to marketing. That's why she founded Round Peg, where she can help businesses of all sizes create smart marketing strategies to fit their individual needs, their goals, and their customers. And now, here's Lorraine Ball with this month's Prophet University audio series.
Six simple steps to email success. Email works. Now, I know that email has been abused and overused, and it's gotten a bad reputation. But the truth is, if email is done well, it can deliver extraordinary and cost-effective results. So today, we're going to talk about the pieces of the email puzzle that you have to put together to create a sustainable email marketing program that will generate real opportunities for your business. Step one is setting your goals and objectives. All great marketing starts with the end result in mind, that clear objective that will help you make good choices about what should and shouldn't go in each and every email. Email can help you increase sales of existing products. You can use email to request testimonials and reviews on Angie's List and Yelp. Invite people to renew their service agreements. Set appointments for their annual maintenance. Email can also be used to remind people about changing their filters or simply staying in touch. It can do all these things, nurturing leads, requesting referrals, encouraging prospects to call you, helping people move closer to that buying decision. But what email cannot do is all of those things at once. And so as you're mapping out your strategy for your email campaign, decide what the objective is. And it'll be a lot easier to put that email together when you know specifically what you're trying to accomplish. Remember that good marketing is measurable. And the more specific you are on the front end, the easier it'll be to determine if the campaign actually worked after it was run. You can measure success in open rate or click through. You can measure success in the number of people that called, the phone number in the email, downloaded a form, scheduled an appointment. Decide how many of each of those actions have to occur in order for you to feel like it was worthwhile. Once you know what you're trying to accomplish, the next thing you need to do is start thinking about who you're going to send that email to. Even if you are thinking that your email program won't actually start for several months or maybe even a year, start collecting email addresses today. Don't let another day go by. Every time the phone rings, every interaction that you have with clients or prospects, ask for their email. Add a sign-up box to your website. Add a download landing page on your website where you trade email addresses for unique content. Collect, collect, collect. There are a couple of things as you're on this mission to acquire email addresses that you should not do. Do not upload membership lists from every organization you've ever belonged to. Do not buy lists or add everyone you meet at a networking event to your email list. Permission-based email marketing works because people on your list really want to hear from you. When you randomly add people, not only do you risk alienating them, but you're actually in violation of federal CAN spam laws. Now, I know we all get lots of spam, and you're thinking, well, they're sending that to me. Why can't I send it? Think for a moment how you feel about those people who send you that information. Do you really want your customers and prospects feeling that way about you? As you're accumulating your list, the next thing you need to start doing is thinking about what are you going to put in your email. Where does this content for your email newsletters come from? Think about questions that your customers ask you on a regular basis. Talk to your CSRs and your service technicians. What kind of information are they sharing over and over again? If they're getting questions, you can bet that there are more people who want to know the answer to that too. Some of the most common questions that come up again and again as we work with heating and air conditioning companies are things like, why do I have to change my indoor coil when I replace the outdoor unit? What does AFUE and SEER actually mean? But also think about information that you have access to that your customers don't. Information from trade journals, information on new government rebates, information on efficiency standards. These are all things that help position you as a subject matter expert, someone who's kind of that go-to guy when it comes to their home heating and cooling system. You might also want to think about sharing information on other related home services. Begin to position yourself as a home service guy. Maybe you get a guest post or a guest article from a roofer or a landscape architect. And in exchange, they let you add an email update in their newsletter to their customers. Suddenly, you're sharing information with a much wider circle. You want to be sure that every email has at least one call to action. And the call to action can be any number of things. It can be a link that takes them to a place where they can schedule an appointment or renew their service agreement. It can simply be a link to more information. Whatever your call to action is, you want to make sure that it's clear and obvious. Don't clutter up your email with so many different calls to action that people don't know what to do. This email is part of an ongoing program. You're going to have more than one opportunity to talk to these people in the coming months. You don't have to tell them everything you know in that one email. There's a lot of research that shows that the more calls to action and the longer the newsletter, the less likely people are to read it. So keep it short. Have one or two small bits of information that people can catch at a glance, and then a clear call to action, one thing you want them to do. One of the other types of emails that you should send from time to time fall into the category of the relationship or loyalty building email. Email is a great way to thank customers for giving you an opportunity to quote, to service their equipment. And in that email, it's great to ask for a testimonial, a referral, or maybe some feedback. Once you decide on the kind of email that you want to send, the next trick is to get readers to open your email. The most creative campaign is completely worthless if you can't get people to open the email. And with so many emails showing up in our inbox each and every day, we've developed some pretty effective coping strategies for sorting through the content. Every time an email hits our inbox, we mentally sort it into one of three buckets: now, later, or never. Your objective is to get people to open the email now. Here are a few tips to increasing the chances your email will be open. The first thing is the subject line. Keep it brief. Remember that many email services are going to truncate your message, so be sure to lead with the most attention-grabbing part of your email. New email from Joe's Heating and Air is not going to get opened, but an email that starts with "Save 25% on your heating bills" might. The next thing that you have to think about is who the email is going to come from. The more recognizable the name, the more likely someone is to put the email in their inbox. So if there's a member of your company that has maybe more of a face to the community, the likelihood that your email will be open will increase if the email comes from that individual than from the company in general. Next, set a schedule. While surprises are good in some types of marketing, building a habit so your customers expect to hear from you on a specific day and time will improve your open rate. When is a good time? Well, the short answer is every list is different. You want to be sure to send it when people are likely to open it. To figure out what's best for you, you probably want to run some tests. Divide your list into equal parts and study your open rates for clues as to when you have the best results. There are a couple of general rules as far as day, time. You want to avoid Mondays. Everybody coming back to work has way too much going on Mondays. Open rates for emails sent on Mondays tend to be pretty low. Weekends are kind of funny. We actually have seen some pretty good results with Friday afternoon, leading actually into the weekend. But typical rule of thumb is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Either early morning or between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. That 2 o'clock time slot is actually really good. Why? When people are working, they're very likely to take that short break early in the afternoon, read personal emails. They actually hop on Facebook, so if you're doing social media updates, that's a good time to do that as well. You don't want to get too late in the afternoon, though, both from the standpoint of your business as well as for your customers. If you've got a normal dispatch desk and the people are likely to go home at 5 in the afternoon, you don't want to send out an email at 4 and have your phone start ringing between 4 and 6. You either want to get it out around 2 in the afternoon, or you might want to think about delivering that email at 8 o'clock at night. Sounds odd, but a lot of your consumers, after they get home, that first hour or two is dinner, family, kids, errands. But around 8 or 8:30 at night, people start to settle down. Maybe they sit down to watch a little television and they've got their phone or their iPad and they're likely to check email. Just a word of caution, if you are going to do that late evening email, be sure that your call to action is something that does not depend on having a live person answer a telephone. Unless, of course, you've got a 24-hour answering service. But a better idea is to direct people from the email to an online form where they can request an appointment, renew their service agreement, or get more information. Just make sure whatever you do, if you send that email, that people aren't going to be frustrated when they act on your calls to action. As long as we're talking about schedule, let's talk about how often you should be sending an email. Your general newsletter for most heating and air conditioning companies, I recommend once a month. If you're really busy and you've got a pretty light staff, well, then you can drop back to once a quarter for the newsletter. But there are a couple of other emails that you definitely want to consider sending. One is the new customer email. Every time you finish a project, whether it's an installation or a service call, you want to have an email that's prepared that sends a quick note to the homeowner, thanking them for the opportunity to take care of their comfort needs, and asking them to post a comment or a review on either Angie's List, Yelp, or Google+. These days, consumers are looking at reviews, and search engines are looking at reviews too. And so it is important. You don't have to have hundreds of reviews, but you do have to have a few reviews every month that show and demonstrate to future customers that they should be doing business with you. And your email is a great way to solicit those requests. Other emails you want to consider building in might be a filter renewal program. Another type of email you might want to consider building into your mix is a filter reminder program. We first came up with this idea actually working with an optometrist. A lot of his patients wore 30-day extended wear contacts and would forget to take them out. And so they'd wear the contacts for 40 or 45 days, and that would do two things. One, it wasn't really good for their eyes, but two, it would make their contacts last longer, and so instead of coming back in to have their eyes checked once a year, maybe they'd come in every 14 or 15 months. And so to keep them on schedule, he would send an email once a month to remind them to change their contacts. After a few months, he might remind them about getting a pair of glasses to keep just in case something happened to a contact lens, maybe to get a pair of prescription sunglasses, and then a reminder to schedule their appointment around month 11. The same would work really The same approach works for heating and air conditioning contractors. A filter reminder program reminds consumers to change their filter every month. In the spring and fall, you can remind them to change their thermostats and also to have a heating or cooling season checkup. It's a nice way to stay in touch, remind them who you are, occasionally ask them for a referral, testimonial, or feedback. The next thing you really have to think about is the tool that you're going to use to send your email. You cannot send hundreds and thousands of emails from your Outlook or your Gmail. You need to be using some type of third-party tool. And there are lots of affordable ones on the market. MailChimp and Constant Contact are two of my favorites. The amount that you pay is based on the size of your list. Between 2 and 5,000 names, you're looking at around $50 a month. Although that can add up, when you compare that to the thousands of dollars it would cost to send a postcard to all those homeowners, email is a very cost-effective alternative. The best thing about email, and this is step number 5, is that you can measure your results. It's easy to see if people liked the information that you shared and if they took action on it. Some of the information you need will be included in the analytics tool in your email. But don't stop there. Check your website analytics too. Look for specific traffic to particular pages that you promoted in your email. Did people watch the video or did they download the information? Monitor incoming emails and phone requests for more information. Are you getting a spike after the email is sent out? Use this information, use the measurements to modify your email based on both good and bad feedback. In addition to all the positive actions listed above, be sure to pay attention to your unsubscribe rate and spam reports. If these numbers start to rise, it's a clear indication that your customers and your audience is not happy with the information that you're sending them. If you're disappointing your readers, they're going to turn away, and you're going to lose the opportunity to send them more information. Try adjusting the length of your email or the frequency. If your unsubscribe rate goes up, send fewer emails. Last thing I want you to think about is something called list hygiene. This may seem counterintuitive, but a smaller, cleaner list is much more valuable than a large list of questionable quality. Why? Number one, smaller lists are less expensive. Since most email service providers charge based on the size of your list, eliminating people who really aren't interested may actually reduce your monthly fees. It'll also probably reduce your spam complaints. And this is important because if you do receive too many complaints, your email list may be blocked by certain ISPs, preventing you from reaching even interested readers. Clean up your list after each email. It only takes a few minutes, and here are some of the things you should be looking for. Bad email addresses. People change service providers and companies all the time. This results in bounced or undeliverable emails. Bounces alert you to changes, which might be worth following up with a phone call to find out if you can get new contact information for that particular person. Undeliverable errors. This may be a momentary glitch or a signal that there's really something wrong. If you suddenly see a dramatic increase in undeliverable responses, try resending to that group. If the problem persists, contact your email provider. Blocked emails. Remind subscribers to add you to their address book to avoid being arbitrarily blocked by their service provider. Okay, that's kind of it. We've talked about keeping your email list clean. We've talked about ways that you can gather email. We've talked a little bit about content and information that you can be sharing with your readers. Now you're ready to go out and start sending a few emails of your own.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.